Thank you for joining me today, Chip, to talk about this issue.
Thanks for having me.
So why do you think the rates of violence against women are so high? I mean, basically, it's 1 in 4 women will be raped or beaten in their lifetime.
The interesting thing about that statistic is that it's actually relatively low. We think the numbers are probably a lot higher than that. The estimated about 20% of victims of domestic violence report. So the numbers are actually a lot higher than that. As far as the contributing factors go, you know, nobody really knows why the numbers are going up. I think probably it's because women are reporting more that they're being abused, and they're willing to step up and have a voice and take advantage of the resources that are out there for them. So that's what it's probably been going on. We're just seeing higher reporting rates.
In the cases that you've observed at Hilltop, why are men, why are they doing this generally?
You know, I think it really comes down to, you know, sometimes there's a misunderstanding or misinterpretation that all it is an anger management issue. Well, anger management issues show up in all sorts of relationships, just not intimate relationships. So if somebody has an anger management issue, they might be lashing out or losing their temper at their bosses or their coworkers or other family members. Really, you know, it's all about power and control. And I think for a lot of abusers, there's whole theories about why this happens. But I think that, at some level, it comes down to insecurity, and just needing to be able to have that false sense of power by exerting power and control over another person.
What kinds of things does Hilltop provide for women and men who are in domestic abuse situations?
We offer quite a bit. We have a shelter in Delta and a shelter in Montrose. The shelter in Delta is our immediate crisis shelter where women and children can come who are in immediate danger to be safe and to kind of, that's about a 6-week shelter to kind of heal and kind of figure out what they want to do and primarily be safe and help kind of have some of the trauma dial down a little bit. The other thing we have in Montrose is our second stage shelter, which is where they can go after they've been in the crisis shelter. And that is a place for them to go to before, you know, while they're looking for a job, while they're waiting for housing or they're waiting to rent an apartment, and they have ongoing case management. We have ongoing case management both for our clients and our outreach clients, and that's everything from immediately helping them to understand the dynamics of domestic violence and sexual assault, and then we can work on helping them come up with a plan to get the resources they need. And really our goal is to help them become independent and get on with a safe, fulfilling life. That's primarily what we do. We offer support groups. Then we kind of do, which really helps them to meet with other clients who've been in the same thing, kind of work on things in a group session. We also offer help with protection orders, with civil protection orders, where if someone needs to be protected from their offender, that they can get some help filling that out. And we can help point them in the right direction as far as how to navigate the divorce and also parenting plan as well. We're not attorneys, so we're not offering legal advice. We can just kind of help point them in the right direction.
Do you see contributing factors to the women that you work with that would make them stay in a situation where this was happening? Because I think it's really easy for someone who's not in a situation like that to say, oh, if that ever happened to me, I'd be out of there in a second and I would never tolerate that for a minute. I have a feeling that even some very, very strong women might find themselves in a place where they don't leave for some reason.
Yeah, the national average is that women leave their abusive relationships 5 to 7 times before they leave for good. And there's lots of, I think there is this sort of misconception of, well, if it's that bad, why don't you just leave? And there's lots of reasons why women don't leave. Sometimes it's economic. Oftentimes in these situations, it's a very patriarchal sort of male privilege relationship where they work, they make the money. One of the aspects of domestic violence is that women are often very isolated. So maybe they haven't worked at all or haven't worked in years. So So the economic possibility or realities of weaving are very tough to look at, although there is a lot of support for them out there. Oftentimes, it's almost the power and control in some of these relationships can be so intense that there's almost like a brainwashing that goes on, that they're really convinced that no one will believe them, no one will help take care of them, there aren't any resources for them out there. So they really get in this kind of mentality that they're pretty trapped there. The other thing to remember is that, you know, this is an intimate relationship, and even though they know it's bad, sometimes it can be hard to end a relationship, and it can be hard to get out of a relationship. Sometimes there's cultural and religious reasons for why they stay. Maybe they just, you know, their culture or their church is telling them, no, you know, you got to stick with this. This is for life. This is what you do. Sometimes it's shame and embarrassment. They don't want to, you know, admit that I'm in an abusive relationship. So those are just some of the more common reasons that we see why women will stay in these relationships.
On February 14th, Valentine's Day, there will be a 1 billion rising event happening here in Paonia, also in Ridgeway, and I'll be giving the details for those events in a moment. Organizers are asking people to come out and dance, rise up, and demand an end to violence against women. This event actually happens across the globe. It's the brainchild of Eve Ensler, the playwright of the Vagina Monologues. Chip, I'm wondering, what do you think the importance of an event like V-Day is? Can you talk a little bit how increasing awareness of the issue and demonstrating solidarity makes a difference?
Yeah, you know, domestic violence and sexual assault is not an easy thing to talk about. People are pretty uncomfortable around that. So the more that we can do to sort of drag it out into the light and have a conversation about it, just like we have conversations about child abuse and some other important social issues. Also, I think anything we can do, just get people out there with a voice and get the media attention and let people know that enough is enough, and that we're not going to stand for it anymore. I would like to just throw a shout out there to all the men out there in the KVNF listening area to come to these events. Women are impacted by domestic violence, but over 98% of the offenders are men. Now, it's a small percentage of men, but I look at it as it's really a men's problem. So we need to get the men out there, and we need to stand in solidarity with women and educate our sons and educate our friends to say, you know, this is not good. This is not acceptable. This needs to stop. So yeah, it is really important to get out there and, just like any big social issue, you know, have a voice, make a stink, let people know you're being heard.
What are the challenges of your job? And, you know, for others that are working at Hilltop, what kinds of support does the organization need?
You know, in particular, in what I do, you know, Hilltop's a large social services organization based out of Grand Junction, but we have a regional office in Montrose, and we try to help with all sorts of stuff, from domestic violence to parenting support, family support, youth support. You know, always, you know, like most nonprofits, you know, money's always good. Money helps for sure. But oftentimes people don't want to just give cash. So for Tri-County in particular, we do have volunteer opportunities, whether it's the crisis hotline or other volunteer opportunities to help us out. Also, for us, what really helps are things like gift cards to movies, gift cards to go make pottery, gift cards to City Market, Safeway, those sorts of places. Those things are really, really helpful for our clients. Our budgeting and our funding is fairly limited. We can only do so much in that sense of direct client expenses and client assistance. So anything like that people can think of really, really does make a difference. So much things like clothes and those sorts of things, not so much because we get a lot of those donations and we don't have a lot of storage for that, but also toiletries are always really helpful. You know, you got to think about, if you had to leave your house and you only had 3 minutes to get out, what would you be able to take with you? because that's oftentimes the case. I mean, they're literally fleeing for their lives. So those sorts of things are really helpful. But gosh, anything to just kind of help our clients bring a little joy into their life and sort of have, quote, a normal life is really, really helpful.
And what can people do to support victims of domestic abuse if maybe you work with somebody who's in a situation like that or have a neighbor? How can you help them?
I would say the number one thing you can encourage them to do is to contact Tri-County or another domestic violence organization to get some education and get some support. That's probably the number one thing you can do. And if sometimes offering to go with them or just getting them a phone number. If they're unwilling to do that, I would say the number one thing is to be supportive in a sense that you're not telling them what to do, but you're letting them know you're there and you're there to help them whenever they need it. If you can be a safe haven for them but not put yourself at risk, then that's also really important. But I think because the isolation can be so intense in these relationships, in other words, the victims get isolated from family, from church, from other support groups. They really feel like people have sort of forgotten about them. Figure out some way to stay in contact and let them know that you're there for them whenever they need you. But the number one thing is to get them to call us. And they can call us anonymously. All of our services are free and they're confidential.
What kinds of things can we tell our kids about this issue and just create, some education around it while kids are young?
I think one of the best things we can do is educate our children about what a healthy relationship is, what that looks like, what a balance of power looks like, what equality looks like, how to negotiate, how to fight fairly, how to appreciate differences in people. As parents, those of us that are in healthy relationships, just modeling those behaviors can be really, really helpful. As our kids get older, we do a lot of work with teen violence and teen dating violence and what healthy relationships look like in a relationship. And primarily with our kids, you know, we just have to keep on telling them that violence is not the answer. Violence is never the answer. And give them the tools they need to be able to communicate and be in healthy relationships.
And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Chip Manili, who's the program supervisor and acting coordinator at the Hilltop Tri-County Resources. And we're talking about domestic violence and what some of the resources in our community are for people who might be facing some sort of domestic violence situation in their lives, and also what you can do to help. Congress is debating whether or not to uphold the Violence Against Women Act. This was signed into law by President Bill Clinton in 1994, and it provides $1.6 billion towards investigation and prosecution of violent crimes against women, imposes automatic and mandatory restitution on those convicted, and allows civil redress in cases or prosecutors chose to leave unprosecuted. The act also establishes the Office on Violence Against Women within the Department of Justice. Chip, what do you think? How do you think that the perpetrators in these cases should be handled? Do you think the Violence Against Women Act is a good thing and should be upheld?
Absolutely. You know, the Violence Against Women Act is, in my opinion, has been one of the best pieces of legislation to come out in a long time. It's very victim, survivor-centered. It's very specific about what it funds and what it does, and it really does help address the issue. And it really, like an example would be, I am the sexual assault response team coordinator for Delta, Montrose, and Ouray counties, and I oversee a team of law enforcement, the district attorney's office, the hospitals, to make sure that we have a coordinated effort to respond to sexual assault victims so they're treated with respect, they get the services that they need, and that there's specific ways that evidence is gathered and reports are written so that they have a stronger case to go after the perpetrator. And that is all funded by VAWA right there. That's one example of why it's so important. As far as your question about how the perpetrators are handled, Most of that money does not go to perpetrator treatment or perpetrator prevention. That comes out of different areas of the Department of Justice. So it really is focused on the victims and the survivors of these crimes.
Thank you so much, Chip. Before we go, I was hoping that you could let our listeners know the numbers to call if they need help, and also if there are any events or programs that people can be involved in.
Sure. If anyone needs to reach us anytime, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, we have a 24-hour hotline. And that number is in Delta County is 874-4941. And in Montrose County, it's 249-2486. And in Ouray County, it's 626-3777. And as far as events coming up, we're doing some fundraisers coming up this spring. We have a campaign called Extraordinary Women, where we have some custom-made coffee mugs with custom art on them. They're filled with local goodies that we will be going around and selling. That's a big help. And then we also have another public awareness campaign coming up in July. It's called Real Men Speak Out, where we've gotten portraits and quotes from local male leaders in the area about domestic violence. So be keeping an eye out for that. And I'll just once again, if people are interested in volunteering, you can call that number and help out. Or if people need ideas about ways that they want to help, then they can do that. You know, the main thing is, you know, we need to speak out and let people know that we're here. And if you know anyone that's in a violent relationship or abusive relationship, please encourage them to give us a call. And just remember, everything's confidential and everything's free.
Thank you so much, Chip.
Thanks, Allie. Take care.